Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, as you're turning there, a country preacher decided to skip services on a Sunday to spend the day hiking in the wilderness. As he rounded a sharp bend in the trail, he collided with a bear and was sent tumbling down a steep grade. He landed on a rock and broke both legs. With the ferocious bear charging at him from a distance, the preacher prayed. He said, "Lord, I am so sorry for skipping services today. Please forgive me and grant me just this one prayer. Make a Christian out of that bear that is coming at me." At that very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to his knees, clasped his paws together, and he began to pray aloud at the preacher's feet. The bear prayed, "Dear Lord, please bless this food that I am about to receive." Amen. It is Independence Day. It is a day of celebration and a day of remembrance. Our minds and our thoughts certainly go back to remember the brave men and women that stood up to ring freedom's bell. Amen. Their commitment, their sacrifice to secure the liberties that we enjoy today. Amen. Even this very moment. And it's my plea that we are ever reminded that freedom is never free. Amen. Freedom is never free. Consider this sacred morning that we've gathered here today. As we've come together, as we've gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thousands of brave American soldiers are stationed on front lines all around this globe. They're ready to serve. They're ready to sacrifice. They're ready to protect the very freedoms that we have to be here today. Amen. And this has always been the case. It has always been true of our nation. Out of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 of them were captured and tortured by the British. 12 of them had their homes burned to the ground. 2 of them lost their sons in battle. 1 had 2 of his sons captured and thrown in jail by the British. And 9 put themselves on the front lines of battle, and they paid with their life. Thomas McKean was tracked and hunted by the British and had to constantly move his family into hiding. He served in our nation's early Congress without pay, and he died in poverty. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British and was used as a command post. In service himself, he urged General Washington to open fire on it. His home was destroyed, and he died penniless. Freedom is never free. But it's that kind of patriotism that led a ragtag army with little more than hunting rifles to fight for freedom against the most powerful nation of their day, the British government. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their own independence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proved by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." John Adams, while signing the Declaration of Independence, he says, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God will it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." But freedom is never free. Now, we need to understand that in declaring independence from Great Britain, our founding fathers, our forefathers, were knowingly declaring dependence upon Almighty God. Amen? The second paragraph of our Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." In the closing words, it states, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence." Simply put, relying on God's provision, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We all need to remember this declaration of dependence upon Almighty God, for we have quickly forgotten and forsaken the God of our Father, the God of our independence, the very giver of all good things in this nation. Let's pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 8, skipping down to verse 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." So this morning, I want us to remember so that we do not forget. First and foremost, that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. Now, there's no doubt that this passage was directed to the nation of Israel, delivered by Moses himself. But as with all scripture, we need to find that spiritual message that God has given us. And once we find that spiritual message, it's up to us to apply it to our daily lives. And that's what our plan is this morning. So as a great nation, there is no great nation that relies on its wealth. A great nation does not rely on its military strength. It doesn't rely on its technology. A great nation simply relies on its dependence upon Almighty God. Amen? How they execute his justice and his righteousness depend upon how they depend upon their Almighty God. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible declares, and we just look back through history to see that it testifies, that it's God who sets up kingdoms, who sets up nations, and it's God who brings down kingdoms, who brings down nations. It's God who puts kings or leaders upon their throne, and it is God who removes those kings and those leaders. The most powerful army, the most richest nations, the most advanced and educated people, they all fall way short to Almighty God. Amen? We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We see in verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. Righteousness exalts a nation. That is a nation's greatest strength. This is why God has certainly protected and blessed our nation through the centuries. When the pilgrims set sail, they set sail for one purpose: to seek righteousness in their worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God led them to this sanctified land. And our founding fathers, when framing our government, held firm to their claim that a nation without God and Jesus Christ is a nation doomed. One of my favorite patriarchs, Patrick Henry, he said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shall not fight alone. God presides over the destinies of nations. The battle is not to the strong alone. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. Give me liberty, or give me death." Listen to what he wrote in his last will and testament. He said, "I have now given everything I own to my children. There is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. Because if they have everything I gave them and don't have Christ, they have nothing." President George Washington, he said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Great patriarchs. Benjamin Franklin, he said, "I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it impossible an empire could rise without his aid?" Noah Webster. I'm very familiar with the Webster Dictionary. Noah Webster could quote scripture verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Noah Webster said, "The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this wise we owe our free constitutions of government." Thomas Jefferson, he said, "The reason that Christianity is the best friend of government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart." Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm base, that of a conviction of the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? Trouble for my country when I reflect, or I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, then you say in your heart, "My power and the might of my hands have gained me wealth." That is where our nation has stripped to. Second thing I want us to point, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Friends, this is exactly what we have done as a nation. This is exactly where we have fallen as a nation. We vilify our brave men and women in uniform, and we turn a blind eye to the epidemic shootings and murders that are happening right in our own black communities. We mock the word of God, and we call it enlightenment. We murder our own children, and we call it choice. We embrace homosexuality, and we call it an alternative lifestyle. We have lost the shame in our sins today. We become accepting of every lifestyle except Christianity. Verse 19, going back into Deuteronomy chapter 8. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. America, we need to understand that we are on the doorstep of God's judgment and His wrath. As God's people, we ought to be trembling for our nation as Thomas Jefferson trembled for his. What an enemy ungodly man is to a nation. Whether a nation is exalted or blessed or is brought down low in shame, all that depends on how its people choose to live according to the Word of God. Whether we exalt it as a nation depends upon a nation's righteousness. And as a people, we have no righteousness of our own. Amen? Righteousness is not legislated by government. It's spelled out in the Word of God and lived out by its people. Amen? Plain and simple. And it all begins with Jesus Christ. As I said, we have no righteousness of our own. The Bible says our righteousness is that of filthy rags. Sinners by nature. Righteousness comes only through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, plain and simply. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, it's in Jesus Christ that we truly find freedom. It's in Jesus Christ that we find a new word for freedom, and that word is redemption. Amen? That beautiful gospel hymn, He Set Me Free. That's what it's all about. Set free from the sin of bondage. Set free from that guilt and shame of our past. Set free from the anxiety and worry about tomorrow and where eternity will bring us. We have a brand new start. We have a brand new slate, and we have a brand new name written down in glory. All because of the freedom that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What does liberty mean? Freedom. Freedom. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I want to close with a quote from Andrew Johnson. He said, "Let us look forward to the time when we can take the flag of our country and nail it below the cross, and let it wave as it waved in olden times, and let us gather around it an inscribed motto: Liberty and Union, one and inseparable, now and forever. And exclaim, Christ first, our country next. Freedom is never free. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.